Issues Etc. regular guest Pastor Stephen Parks on why your congregation should join the Issues Etc. 300.
If I could, I'd just like to challenge any Lutheran pastors that are listening to consider becoming one of the congregations that supports Issues Etc. My own congregation is a very small church, and I know it can be difficult to try and budget $1,000 a year to become one of the Issues Etc. 300. But if you're being blessed by this, as I know you are, and if your congregation is being blessed by this, as I know that it is, I submit to bring it to the congregation to prayerfully consider supporting the outreach of Issues Etc., not only here in the United States, but also around the world. Thank you so much for what you do.
Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget. Simply go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc., the Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Well, on June 1st, the new online version of the Issues Etc. Journal will launch. If you want your copy of the new Issues Etc. Journal, it's back finally after, well, we're coming up on almost a year, just a month shy of a year since our return to the airwaves. But we got it done, an online journal. If you'd like your copy of it, you can subscribe very easily. Just send an email to journal@issuesetc.org. We've set up that email address just for those who want the Issues Etc. Journal online starting June 1st, journal@issuesetc.org. The article's in the first one this time. Let's see. An article that I've written called Sheep Don't Keep Track, Stop Measuring Your Moral Progress, answering the question of do Christians do good works and do they progress in their sanctification and does it really matter? And then there's an article written by Pastor George Borghardt on his trip from Rome to the Reformation. Theologically speaking, that is. journal@issuesetc.org. We're going to spend the last 10 minutes talking with Pastor Greg Alms. The church is remembering on this day two, I would say, probably less prominent, more obscure names, Cyril and Methodius. 9th century missionaries to the Slavs. Pastor Greg Alms is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Catawba, North Carolina. He's author of the blog Incarnatus Est. Greg, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd. Good to be here.
I can just see listeners reaching for the scan button right now because they're thinking, how could this possibly be relevant? Cyril and Methodius, what's your response?
Well, the names are certainly obscure, but you know, surprisingly enough, as often happens in church history, their story and lessons are quite relevant. As you said, missionary to the Slavs, they were missionaries who took serious the call to bring the gospel to people who did not know Christ, and in relevant ways in their own language. And they were paid the price for that from other Christians and persecution and opposition, and yet were did so, bring that gospel and did that mission work in ways which were theologically, I might say, deep. Or they did that mission work and made it relevant in the language of the people, and yet did not sacrifice any depth or commitment to the church and so forth. So I think they're a wonderful example for us today.
Talk about the opposition that Cyril and Methodius, but in particular one of these characters, met from the church itself when he was attempting to bring not only the scriptures and Christian preaching, but also Christian worship in the language of the people to whom he was ministering, even going so far as to develop an alphabet for them.
That's right. Cyril, these two were brothers, Cyril and Methodius. And as they developed a mission work to the Moravians, the Slavic language was, as all languages, oral, but had not been written down. And as he was developing Christian literature and indeed Christian worship, developed an alphabet and in its first form, and it is what became known as Old Church Slavonic. and wrote the language down and codified it and used it in that outreach. So, you know, Cyril and Methodius are certainly church figures in Slavic nations such as Bulgaria and other places. They're also educational figures, cultural figures, celebrated because they really brought the language and the culture down in writing. But their motivation for doing this was precisely, as you say, in Christian worship, to bring to the people the ability just to hear the gospel and to respond with worship of that gospel in their own language.
Why was Cyril accused of heresy, for at least initially, for doing this?
Well, there was an opinion current in that day that the liturgy should only be... There were three liturgical languages, and that was Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. And so there, these, you might call them conservative opinions that these were the languages ordained by God, and those are the three languages written on the cross that Pontius Pilate wrote. That's where the opposition came from people who were quite insistent that especially Latin. Cyril ran into some opposition from the Roman Catholic Church, or at least from some bishops who were attached to Rome in Germany and so forth, who insisted that the liturgy only be spoken in Latin. Surprisingly enough, the Pope himself in that day, when Cyril and Methodius actually traveled to Rome, welcomed them, and actually, as tradition has it, a pretty strong tradition, they celebrated the liturgy in Slavonic, in the Basilica of St. Peter's in the 800s, but much opposition from the people within there, and it got tied into influence who was actually going to be the missionaries to these Moravians and Slavs as you went east from Europe, who was going to do it, and I got mixed up with some of that stuff, too.
Well, that raises two questions that I want you to address before we wrap this up, and that is, one, the historic form of the worship, of Christian worship, already in place there in the 9th century, does translate and transcend both culture and language. Deal with that one first.
I'm sorry, Todd, say that again. I missed your question, exactly where you were going.
Well, talk about, if you would, the ability for the historic form of Christian worship to transcend and translate.
Oh, yeah. Right. I mean, the historic form of worship isn't tied to a particular culture or language. As you say, it transcends. It translates into a particular language, but it is not tied to a particular language. It transcends culture and language. The church, while it adapts and, we might say, incarnates itself into a particular culture, the church has its own culture. It has its own worship. And those things are translated into the languages so that people may actually worship, but are not tied to a particular culture, but the church brings its own culture and, in fact, influences the cultures that it finally brings itself into. It influences the culture, I think, more than, say, the culture influences it. At least that's the way it's supposed to be.
Then with only 30 seconds, you mentioned at the beginning that these two missionaries, Cyril and Methodius, were able to make these translation without compromise of the message. Why is that so important? 30 seconds, Pastor Alms.
It's important because, there's opposition always, whether it's in the 800s or now, and we have to make that communication, but we also have to make the communication of the entire gospel for the sake of the very people that we're preaching to. We don't bring a subtracted gospel or a half gospel, but all of it. Cyril and Methodius were wonderfully educated, brilliant men who were able to do both of those things. And that's why they are remembered, today in the church calendar.
Pastor Greg Alms is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Catawba, North Carolina, and author of the blog Incarnatus Est. We'll post a link to his blog at our website, issuesetc.org. When you get there tonight, just click on demand, issuesetc.org. Greg, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd.
Well, the one-year anniversary of the Return of Issues, etc., our anniversary event, is coming up Tuesday afternoon, June the 30th. That's coming up faster than you think. beginning at 4 o'clock on that Tuesday afternoon, June the 30th, here at Lutheran Public Radio Studios in Collinsville, Illinois. You are invited. Yes, we're going to open the doors so you can come at 4 o'clock and watch the show being done live. And then afterwards, when the show is over, join us for a little bit of a celebration here at LPR Studios. It begins 4 o'clock Tuesday afternoon, June the 30th, the one-year anniversary of the return of Issues Etc. Now, you need to RSVP. We need to hear that you're coming, how many are coming, and so forth. We've made it very easy for you to do that. Here is the email address to RSVP for our June 30th anniversary event, the return of Issues Etc., here at LPR Studios in Collinsville, Illinois. Craig@issuesetc.org. Just send an email with all your information, RSVP, to Craig@issuesetc.org. We hope to see you there, and everyone is invited. Craig@issuesetc.org. Tomorrow on the program, we'll talk to Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse about a PBS and Religion Ethics News Weekly story on the hookup culture. They used to call it getting together, going steady. None of that anymore. Young people and teenagers, they just hook up. Sometimes it's practically anonymous. We'll talk about that with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse tomorrow on Issues Etc. Well, there are Cyril and Methodius showing us how it should be done. All the way back in the 9th century, they're showing us that as the gospel goes forth into new lands, new languages, new cultures, there are going to be some obstacles. One of them is going to be the language barrier, but easily overcome. It's a matter of simply knowing those languages, speaking them with clarity, and making sure that the gospel message that is spoken in that language comes through loud and clear. And it can be done without compromise. Against all of those, especially here in our American culture and within the church, who are telling us that in order for the gospel to be heard by our culture, we have to pare it down, dumb it down, water it down so that people can hear it. Nonsense. Cyril and Methodius say there's no need to compromise. Speak the gospel clearly. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow, and thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.